This is a production of Cornell University.
Some of the issues that were identified at our recent fall meeting, just before we went to press, maximizing participation in food and nutrition assistance programs, dealing with that food security side, strengthen this connection between local food products and consumers, support efficient and profitable agricultural food production and that food retail infrastructure, and increase consumer awareness and knowledge about healthy eating and improve access to safe and nutritious foods. So we got a lot of volunteers initially that wanted to say this is how to do it. And my inclination, having always worked for larger organizations and more grassroots organizations, was to go out and hear what people had to say, so that we didn't miss things. I'm trying to have as open a process as we can possibly have, as open a dialogue with all stakeholders as possible. If you have an idea, get it to us. So these were the listening sessions. We had great participation by the council members. Very interesting to see some of the individual comments that came in this process, and some of the tremendous cooperation that's already coming on locally. And there's obviously pockets of the state that are far ahead of other areas in terms of focusing on local food production and integrating people. Certainly, I think we got great ideas everywhere, a lot of consistent ideas, but I think this Finger Lakes area out here, I think the influence of the diverse production that occurs out here, and the discussion going back and forth between producers and consumers in the Finger Lakes area really was born out. A lot of tremendous ideas came out of that Binghamton meeting. So listening tour, there's the suits up in the front and so on, and then lots and lots of people. I mean, look at that. That is that bottom picture is you know, all people who came to that's the one in Lower Manhattan, isn't it? Yeah. Just an amazing amount of people there, and almost to a person, talking about and supporting local food production and so on. So there were lots of underlying themes that came out of all of that, and there were several broad categories. So these are some of those categories, areas for us to start to focus on. One, increase efficiency and profitability of farming and food processing, sort of that underpinning in order to get us to everywhere else we want to go. And so these were some of the themes that came out of that, supporting strategies that help farmers remain competitive, funding to encourage adoption of good ag practices. Increasingly, there's a lot of demands being placed back from retailers, back through distributors and so on, back on producers in terms of good ag practices. New market opportunities, crop diversification, supporting wholesale and retail initiatives. How do we get these products, if we can produce them, delivered? You can't go anywhere, you can't talk about any commodity, any size producer anymore, without talking about immigration reform. Tom Maloney, I just think it's incredible you don't have this done yet. It's enormously frustrating to all of us, but it's on there, and it's something that we need to continue to work on. Ensure ag and food processing is fully eligible for all economic development programs. It's not always just a job headcount that can measure the importance of agriculture's impact locally. So strengthen this connection. You know, web-based directories of New York grown and processed food. Successful storage and distribution models. What can we do there? Some of this is very frustrating, and I think there's a lot of work that needs to be done. In-school initiatives that encourage local food choices. I think there's a lot of promise in this whole thing. How do we teach kids about eating well and going back to that instruction and their hands-on learning in the process? It's slow, tedious work, but I think it's a great way to go. Promoting existing programs, Ag in the Classroom, Farm to School, and so on. I think the Farm Bill will be very central in all of this. Hopefully the mandatory spending anticipated there will be maintained. I think there is a lot of opportunity for us in this whole institutional area. It just seems to me a lot easier to work with a chef or a food service person than it is, you know, one-on-one with all of us consumers. Very central, talked some about this already, but consumer awareness and knowledge about healthy eating. And then we'll get to the kinds of things, if we can be successful in this area, we'll get to the kind of things that New York producers are growing. So reduce obesity by using evidence-based prevention measures, initiatives. Limiting high sugar and fat foods without being overly restrictive. This theme kept coming through that we have malnourished fat kids. It's incredible. And that has tremendous implications for their learning and their health, obviously, later in life. Evaluating how current programs promote healthy eating and not just caloric intake. Fund programs that have successful track records, WIC, Extension, Eat Smart New York, encouraging collaboration between parallel programs. I think we have a lot of work to do here, sort of franchising and finding out what does work and explaining that to other people and letting them use that. Comparing how health-focused initiatives stack up against commercial promotion of non-nutritious foods. That's a big one, a big, big area. And then I mentioned it before, and it's still going to be very significant to us, recognizing and meeting that cultural diversity in health food messages. And there are just different reactions from different cultures to different foods. And there's, we have some knowledge. I suspect we need a lot more in that. I think the dairy industry is way ahead in that whole area. Maximizing participation in food and nutrition assistance programs. This is another leg that we have, and again, I think there's benefits, extended benefits that will come to New York agriculture from this. Improve education and outreach, ensure staff are knowledgeable about programs so they can help people get access to it. It's remarkable to me how many benefits that people could have, that they should have, frankly, I think for society's benefit, that they just simply are not aware of at all. New York Fresh checks, kind of experimental so far, but matching dollar for local food purchases and expanding the ability for people to buy fresh produce at markets. Universal portable electronic benefit transfer, that's a tremendous thing. You know, there's no such thing as a food stamp anymore. Go into that farmer's market, use the card, have the technology at the market to be able to make that transfer. Application process forms, all kinds of things that can be improved on, and then uniformity between intergovernmental areas. So we are, you're 15 minutes from the best part of the day, but Mr. Chairman, back to you.
Thanks, Pat. Obviously, lofty but very important goals and objectives of our Food Policy Council. So we have, roughly about 15 minutes. I'd like to open up the floor to questions for our panel. You've really left them stunned, Pat.
We left them hungry.
Yes, Mark.
Pat, you had one of your goals at making sure that food processing and agriculture are eligible for economic development programs. Have you got those folks on board? Economic development seems to have been a little hard to put our finger on.
Yes, I think we do have them on board. They've been loyal participants at the Empire State Development Corporation is a member of the Council on Food Policy, and they have been to many of the listening sessions. We, as many of you would know, Dennis Mullen is now doing a lot of upstate work. He comes from a food processing background. He and I have talked. We have another meeting in another week or so. There is a clear partnership between that agency and our agency as it relates to food and agricultural projects. He gets that. It's clearly where the governor does want to go. He maintained that $40 million fund for upstate economic agricultural development and food development. Admittedly, those of you who are following that is not something that is that has been released yet, although regulations are basically final, I guess, at this point. Yeah, it's been pretty, honestly and candidly with all of you, it's been kind of frustrating. You know, we have a governor, I mean, in some sense, you should all expect a lot of activity, having been nearly 2 years into a new administration. And the truth of the matter is, we have a governor who's really only been here 9 months. We've got a chief of staff who's been here 1 month. We have a whole new team at the top of Empire State Development. And now we have the worst fiscal crisis since the Depression in the state. And so I think it's unclear to the division of the budget, you know, how much of that to obligate right now. But the commitment is still there to do it, and everyone is getting organized to do it.
Questions?
Yeah.
Well, only to agree with you. Ann heads up our effort on farm to school. And Ray Denniston, who is from just south of here in the Binghamton area, is the school food service director at Johnson City Schools, I think. And Ray is on this, invaluable advice to us in this whole area. There is a strong desire to change the rules of the road in terms of what we're serving students in the Healthy Schools Act. But you know, these are ideas out there. I think we're a long way from doing it because there is some intersection with distribution and money available and so on. I know one grower who lives a mile from the school, top quality grower. And the school is buying his products, and you know, they'll call for, you know, a couple of bushels of something, and he takes it, and he knows he's losing money. Even though he's that close, it's just not efficient. And so we have, I think, a tremendous amount of work to do there, but I think there is a lot of goodwill on it.
Yes, down there.
No, that principle hasn't changed, and that has not affected our ability to grow, because I guess I was raised the old-fashioned way: you can't afford it, don't buy it. And as I said, we were able to afford. We did get some grants, no question about it. We got two grants, total about $70,000. And it's interesting to note that there's money available, but it depends how you present yourself and what the issue is. I went in front of our Industrial Development Association, the IDA of the county, and they thought initially it was a subsidy to farmers. I said, no, it's not a subsidy to farmers. I presented the plan. And I said, I need money to buy a truck, a refrigerated truck, and why? And they gave us that money. And then I came back and showed our growth the 2 years later, and we need a labeling machine for $30,000. And I said, now we represent, instead of just three farms, we should represent eight farms, because we really need that kind of milk production to tap into. And I showed the amount of money I was giving back to the farmers. And with our small production, our first year, those five farmers received $20,000 back in their pocket. They hadn't done anything different except produce quality product. So their comment to me was, you're asking for $30,000 and you're working with 5,000 acres of open property. You're doing more with 30 than we're doing with a million. So it depends on the project. But that's probably the last time we're going back for grants for now. We are fiscally solvent, as I can see it. We moved to a bigger facility, again, family-owned facility that initially was my first choice, you know, 7 years ago when I first started investigating this. But we were nothing. We were small, and the critical issue was not segregation. But now, because of the size and the amount of milk we represent, all that milk goes into one plant and never gets mixed with anything else. It's the only milk going in there. So they're benefiting with consistent quality milk, and we're benefiting with respect to efficiency of scale that they bring to us. And so it's a mutual beneficial society, and perhaps in the future, not too distant, there'll be a merger. And we showed them that we can sell value-added product. Milk can be a value-added product versus being cheese or butter and other things, which we probably will get into, you know, ice cream and stuff. But no, it's still debt-free.
Yeah, and for the first time today, I finally seen some ag bankers nervous out there.
Well, I did, you know.
Brian.
The way the business plan I'd set up is we cover all our costs. What we do with the producer is, for example, if the blend price, like the next month, is going to be around $16, all the producers belong to Agrimark, the co-op. So they receive from the co-op $16 for their 100 pound of milk. We give them the $4 between 16 and 20 for all the milk that we sell under the Hudson Valley Fresh label. So if you sell 200,000 pounds of milk, four times that $4 is really $8,000 for that month. And then we divide it among the farmers, equally among the eight. But yet we pay we subcontract everything and we pay all our bills and we have a net. Because the way I price the product, if you see it on the shelf in the store, it's about a 70 cents or a buck more than generic and a buck or more or less than organic. And in my mind, I'm pricing the milk in the bottle at about $27. Does that answer your question? But as we grow, we will our net revenues are larger, but we won't build a plant because we realize what that costs, and we can't cash flow that.
Yeah, let me just follow up on Brian's information. I'm not here to be a spokesman for Railex, but there are other opportunities that they're working for on local agglomeration opportunities. It's on a pallet-driven basis that there are opportunities of trucking to agglomerate at the Rotterdam facility to go into large New York City markets and things like that. And in case I wasn't clear, I wasn't trying to just, upset everyone to talk about apples and pumpkins coming from the West Coast into New York, but I think it highlights we need to be smart marketers and learn, and we do have competitive advantages about our products. I mean, I'm a supporter of New York products, and I think we do have opportunities here, both on the West Coast, and we need to think about ways to market our products. There's a new technology that's available that we can get fresh produce 5 days across the country. How best, as New York producers and processors, do we take advantage of that? Pat?
I think that's exactly right. One of the things I've been sort of surprised about is what the Railex backhauling opportunities may be the best kept secret that's out there. And when you start to take a look at many products that we produce in New York State, dairy immediately comes to mind, but when you go to any one of our pick a dairy plant, pick the picked the Lowellville cream cheese plant. I forget the numbers now, but I mean, just a dramatic amount of the cream cheese produced in the country is produced in that plant. They had not heard of Rail-X. I don't know if it'll ever work out for them, but we've done that introduction many times over because the specialty markets that we have here on the East Coast, it turns out they're also on the West Coast. There's opportunities, I think, in kosher. There's definitely opportunities in dairy and maybe other areas where we can put product on that train and do a lot better job moving our products back that way.
Yes, down front. They don't have frozen. Other questions? Oh, sorry, right down front.
I'm going to send you the task force report that we had a very committed group. One of the things I wanted to do when I came in as commissioner was to analyze each commodity that we produce. One of the things that we got off the ground right away was a wine grape task force. And they really worked very hard at this. It wasn't one of those, let's meet every 4 months. I mean, they wanted to meet all the time, but we really viewed it and structured it as a task force. Come up with all of the ideas, you know, there ought to be a law type of thing. And they have a very comprehensive report to me that involves everything from relationships and regulations on the environmental front to new marketing ideas to, frankly, just the whole regulatory structure that once we've made a product, I mean, and I think we can appreciate, or maybe we can't appreciate how frustrating it is if you're not a wine producer, that you've done all this work, produced this product, and then the government severely limits how you can market the product, where you can market the product, when you can market the product, and takes its sweet time in making all those decisions. It's maddening. I know you must know that. And so, going out on a limb here, but I'll just say this would be foreshadowing. Our eighth grade English class would call it that. So stay tuned for next year. But I'd be happy to get you the report too, so you can see what the areas that we're focusing on.
Great. Well, with that, let's thank our panel again for a great session.